Fire in the ancient scriptures refers almost always to the miracle and the power of God, to break in and do a new thing. When I think of fire in the Old Testament, one of the first stories, one of the first images that comes to mind is the burning bush. Another is that pillar of fire that led the Hebrew people out of Egypt through the wilderness to do a new thing, to become God's chosen people, and to be a blessing to the world. Fire is a signal. Fire's not the thing. It's the signal that something new is happening. You might call it conflict. Like fire in the Old Testament is a sign of the coming conflict, out of which a new thing will come. In the epistle to the Hebrews, we have examples again and again and again of different people and peoples who had faith in the Word of God, what they might have said was God's fire in their belly. The Word of God to bring about new things, to lead the people through the Red Sea, to lead those people to create a kingdom. David and Solomon, Gideon, Barak, and Samson, all these different peoples. And they were called to do a thing, to administer justice, to be agents of mercy, and to seek after God's truth. Often we are a backward-looking people. We look back to the past to tell us what to do today. I have no doubt that that is a good thing. I travel every so often up to Tennessee to visit some family, and I listen to podcasts on that drive. It's about a five-hour drive. And one of those podcasts was about a researcher who was studying happiness, but mainly about how we make our decisions. She was a professor at Harvard, and she was called on to go to the business school one semester, not to teach the graduate students in the Harvard Business School, but to teach the postdocs, the baby docs, the people who've just had their PhD and they know everything about one thing, but they aren't yet thinking about big things. And she said to them, you know, you know how to draw out data from history, how to analyze innumerable situations from the past in business and in markets, in the currency of countries. But the solutions that the past, that worked in the past, will never be the solutions that work today. You need to know what we did and how we made those choices in the past. But always, we have to be mindful of the present and use what we have, use our history to make new decisions about how to go forward. She was asking those academics to not become people who only know how to look backward. Christians are unquestionably a people who are made to look forward. While looking backward at our past and our tradition, we draw on those things to figure out how to go forward. So when Jesus says, I came to bring fire to the earth, how do you think about it now? The first time you heard that, was it ominous? And when you think of it in these terms, of bringing God's fire, the potential to do a new thing, to bring something new and hopeful and life-giving out of conflict. Does that scripture sound different to you? The division that Jesus brings is something that Luke was experiencing in his day. It's not the same for us. But in his day, people were converting to Christianity. It was not the norm. He did not live in a land where Christianity was normal. It was the new thing, a new direction. And if one of you in your family left your family's religion to go and do a new thing, do you think there was division? Do you think families were torn apart sometimes? I'm afraid we all know something about that. I wonder how Jesus would describe it today. The divisions. People going after one way of being, one solution or another, and creating division. This last piece in this gospel is what speaks to me most loudly. You know how to look at the past and see what happened. You know how to look at some things today and know what they mean. But are you missing the forest for the trees? Are you willfully not paying attention to the signs of the times? The conflicts that are brewing, what do they mean for people who are forward-looking? What do they mean for Christians who place our trust in God to bring about in us the full potential of God's life in the world? We hear about it every Sunday. We use religious language and code language, reign of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But do we become blind to what we're missing? Do we accept things as normal that are not normal? Is greed normal? Is any oppression normal? Is idolatry normal? Has it become normal? The problems that Jesus was naming out loud that got him nailed to a cross, a Roman cross, are the problems that we need to be aware of today. And we need not look back in history and say, this is how it is and this is how it ever will be, but that's how it was. And we are a forward-looking people who walk with God, who preach and practice forgiveness and mercy, who have courage, large hearts that are able to sit with others in pain and suffering and to show them that the way to go through pain and suffering is through it, not to avoid it, to be with, to suffer with, and to approach one another with humility. We are not better than anyone else. I think you've heard me say, the Bishop of Alabama used to say, ain't nobody better than you, and ain't you better than nobody else. That was one of the most important lessons he ever learned when he was 16 years old, and he's never stopped preaching it because it sounded like the gospel to him. Our future is here. We are a forward-looking, hopeful, loving, merciful people. I am so glad we are all back together. We're going to do wonderful things. We're going to spread the love of God, and we're going to be the people that we are called to be. Amen.